FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and today is April 16th, 2018. As always, be part of the show. Join us, debate, and join the dialogue. The email address, as always, kl@kerrylutz.com. Well, about to see history made. Bipartisanship, maybe it's coming back on the Hill in Washington. A modification of the Dodd-Frank Act, which was an abomination and created the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, among other atrocities. Looks like it's getting rolled back some. And maybe that's change we can all believe in. Not sure. Maybe you'll even be able to get a mortgage easier. At least the person you're about to hear from believes that it will be easier to get a mortgage once the modification is passed. Her name is Debbie Bloyd. Debbie, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Kerry. Yeah, I think if the Dodd-Frank Act was repealed or at least rolled back, mortgages would be much easier to get. This is not a mortgage problem. The way they packaged the loans caused the meltdown of 2008, not the loans themselves.
Right. So Dodd-Frank really didn't do anything to fix the problem. What fixed it was banks realizing that the government might not be around to just bail them out the next time, right?
Well, yeah. And, you know, we did the loans that were legal at the time. So I've been in mortgage lending over 20 years now. So I mean, when I first started in the business back in 1998, we had basically five pieces of paper to sign to get a mortgage. Now we're up to 56. It doesn't make it any safer. It confuses people. And a lot of the things were started to protect consumers. But this isn't protecting the consumers. This is hindering the consumers from getting the loans that they need to buy a home for their family.
Yeah. So how have they made it more difficult? Obviously, more paper to sign. But what else have they done that it makes it more difficult for you to get a mortgage?
Well, the rules are a lot different. You know, we used to have, okay, your credit score is the most important thing that you have. It tells everyone how you pay your bills, whether they're on time or they're late. If you used to have a good enough credit score, you did not need to provide me tax documentation, so I didn't have to see your income taxes. Mm-hmm. A lot of people in America are self-employed, Kerry, and they take advantage, and their CPAs take advantage of the tax rules that allows you to write off legitimate business expenses. Everyone that I know that's self-employed, they take people out to lunch, they buy equipment. All that is a legitimate business expense. Well, when those things are deducted off your taxes, when you're self-employed, your gross income goes down dramatically. So if a lot of people put a lot of lunches on there and a lot of business expenses, a lot of machinery, a lot of equipment, that makes their personal income taxes go less and less. Mm-hmm. Now, we don't have a way to do a stated income loan where if your credit's good, then we know you're paying your bills. A lot of companies, a lot of people take money out of their small businesses in cash.
Sure.
The government wants that tax money to be taxed so they get more money. Mm-hmm. That's the whole reason the stated income loans went away, is because the government was not getting their fair share of taxes.
Uh-huh. So, well, the thing that was really abusive during the mortgage meltdown was the stated wage earner loan, right? You're working for a company and you're, you're in waste management, janitorial services, and they pay you double the minimum wage. And yet you had the right under a stated income loan for a wage earner to just put up that you're making $250,000 a year, right?
Exactly. And then, okay, so they got into loans that they could not afford to pay, but that's not the reason for the meltdown. That would be the reason where someone would get foreclosed upon. The thing is, that's a cash business, Kerry. If you're paid, if you're self-employed, a lot of those people, and I know you know this, they take cash out of their businesses or they run everything through the business. So there's not a lot to pay Uncle Sam. This was merely a way to get the government more money. And now those people can't buy homes because now we have to go off of your adjustable gross income on your tax statement. So that means if you really make $500,000 and you and your CPA have whittled that down to $150,000, you're not going to be able to afford that $400,000 house that you want based on what your taxes say. Then those people don't get to buy homes. They rent nice homes.
And so they're renting now. Well, in the new tax law, though, hasn't it in many instances made it more advantageous to rent a home than to buy one?
Yeah, but that just started this year. So since 2008, we've had a lot of people not able to either refinance their current home or buy a new home because of the way their taxes were set up. So it was kind of a catch-22. You either pay more money to the government and you're able to buy a home, or you stay the way you are and you have to rent. Now, with the tax laws changing, renting is just fine. But I think still people want to own their own home, Carrie. That is the American dream. And I see it with every age group. Everybody wants to own their home.
Yeah. So everyone wants to own their home, and the government's been standing in the way. So tell us exactly what these modifications to Dodd-Frank are going to accomplish, hopefully.
Well, I think they're going to change the FICO rules so that you can have lower credit scores and still get a home. You know, everybody seems to be able to get a car loan, whether they've had a house foreclosure or a repossession. Your interest rate is just higher. I hope this goes back to if you don't have as good a credit, you pay a higher rate, but you're still able to get a home. Mm-hmm. And another one of the rollbacks would be different types of loan programs for lower credit scores. That means that, again, we might have some stated loans. I can do a stated loan through two companies right now if the credit score is high enough. So those loans are coming back slowly. They're very rare. The requirements are a little bit tougher. You have to put more money down. So that enables the people that are kind of live in a cash world, if they have 20, 30, 40% to put down, now they can get a mortgage. I just think it needs to roll back to where if you can afford the mortgage, you get the mortgage, maybe at a higher interest rate because your credit score is low, but don't take them out of the buying process altogether.
Mm-hmm. So really they put up roadblocks to the self-employed and made it virtually impossible. And
well, it is, because you have to declare a much larger load on your tax returns. So if you're going to buy that $500,000 house, you've got to have a $200,000 or $300,000 income to be able to afford that on paper with your taxes. But now you just turn around and give money to the government. That's what makes everybody mad.
So if I'm somebody and I had like a big loss last year, I still had income, but I had a non-cash write-off from some other business.
Right.
Is that going to help me as well?
No, it can now. It didn't used to, because they would still back that out.
Right.
So we get to write off. We have in the mortgage world, we have a form that Fannie Mae makes us fill out for every self-employed borrower. And it tells you line by line what part of the tax return you're looking at, what line of the tax return. Fill that number in here, and then the calculations are done automatically. So this is another way that they're trying to help us qualify people. But, you know, if you own rental property, Carrie, this is a problem too, because you could have a rental property fully rented out all year long. But when we qualify you for a loan, you only get 75% of that. And then they back out your taxes and your insurance. All those things come out of it. So you're still never as good on paper as you actually are. And it's very misleading and disheartening for people that make their living buying rental properties. They don't get to use all of that net rental money because numbers are forced into certain blocks and then taken off the tax return.
I see what you're saying. I totally get it. So all of this works against the self-employed.
Yes, know? Sir.
Yeah. So where are we going to be once these modifications are passed exactly?
I think we're going to be in much better shape. I think whatever the rules come down, they're going to be better than they are now. So we're just hoping it's better than it is now. Anything is an improvement. They really clamp down hard. And so for the last 10 years, it's been extremely hard for these people to get loans. Can they do it? Yes. But then they end up paying more money on their taxes. Now that they've taken away some of those credits, I think people are going to be freer to rent. And we're going to lose that business. So when you see housing starts are down and the other reports that come out every month, or if you see, you know, it's harder for builders to get money for financing. That is true. There's not a lot of money for spec homes now because of the Dodd-Frank rule. They make banks, small independent banks, retain almost $3 in the bank for every dollar they lend out. These banks are sitting on huge, huge amounts of assets of cash. Capital that could be used to build more homes or to finance more small businesses. And they're not able to access that because the government has clamped down on them. Hopefully these regulations will free up some of their money so that they can lend it again. 3-to-1 ratio, nobody has that. And the banks just can't lend money anymore. It makes it very hard for our small businesses to get the money they need to grow.
Yeah, totally get that. So there's a recognition on the part of the Congress and obviously the president that something needs to change here. The question is, are they doing enough?
Right. So a lot of the House of Representatives and Congress, I don't think a lot of those people really understand the basics of business. I think they want to protect the consumer at all costs and get the government as much money as possible. But what they're doing is they're hindering small businesses. I mean, when is the last time a senator, a sitting senator, or maybe someone sitting in the House of Representatives has actually tried to go to the bank and get a loan for a small business? I doubt they've done that recently. You know, Maybe they don't even understand finances like that.
Mm-hmm. Probably not, right? I mean, they go to Congress
right.
to get rich the last time.
Yeah, I mean, if they're a nonprofit organization person and they've just gotten a paycheck their whole life, if they've never been a self-employed person and had to go to a bank to get a loan for equipment or payroll or to expand or build a building, they don't know what we have to go through. You know, the banks are frustrated because they can't lend money out to worthwhile businesses and individuals that need it. You know, most of these people have need for money or they wouldn't be coming to the bank. The only time they feel really confident is when they don't need money. And then the bank's willing to loan them money. But if you don't need the money, you don't need the money. Why pay interest on a line of credit you don't need? These are businesses that want to expand, that have a business plan. And they're not able to get the funds. That's what I hope this rolls back so it gets business moving again.
Yeah. So they got to do something. And look, it's understandable that they wanted to avoid the mortgage meltdown from happening again. But this was probably not the way to do it, what they did, to actually bar qualified purchasers from buying homes.
Well, they're just so disconnected to real life. You know, most of my clients, I would say 30-40% of clients are W-2 salaried people. They don't fall into this category. So their paychecks are what they are. They don't have write-offs. Their tax returns are very easy to understand. They either qualify or they don't. It's the self-employed people that have all the wiggle room that are being penalized for being self-employed. And they're the ones that run our small businesses that employ most of our people in the United States. It's not the big companies. You know, there's a lot of small businesses out there with 5 to 7 employees. These owners are making payroll. They're buying equipment, they're leasing space or buying buildings, and they could expand easier if these regulations were lifted.
I get it. So what do you think the minimum credit score will be for somebody to be able to do a stated income loan again?
Well, right now it's, you know, 660, 680 on most plans. It could go down to 620. I mean, what people have to understand is there are reasons why people didn't pay their bills. You know, a lot of this credit problem is medical bills, insurance didn't pay. So they have huge medical bills for a health issue and the people can't pay that medical bill. So it goes into the collection. That really hurts their credit reporter. If they're fighting with an insurance company to try to get a medical bill covered, then it goes into collection. That really hurts their credit score. And then they can't buy a house. Medical, I'd say, is responsible for about 60% of the bad credit. You know, most seniors in their retirement age brackets, they have to pay medical bills that's not covered by Medicare or they don't have gap coverage. They go into foreclosure. They have bankruptcies.
Sure.
Bankruptcy doesn't affect them while they're in the cancer treatment or after the heart attack. It's when they can't pay their bills afterwards and they're trying to pay medical bills and they're all their other bills and they just don't have that income coming in. People are stretched further than I think people understand. The government understands.
Absolutely.
You know, they would love to be able to pay all their bills. They're just not in that position, especially as we age.
Oh, yeah, sure. Medical becomes more and more important a part of your economic situation, for sure. Hey, Debbie, right. It's been really interesting hearing about this. If we want to find out more about you, connect with you, what do we do?
I have a company, it's called DLB Financial Services, and I do investment planning and mortgages. My website is moneystrategieswithdebbie.com. And so they can go on there and find out how to contact me, and I can help them with investment advice, long-term care, and mortgages, how to raise their credit scores. We're just a financial company.
All right. Excellent. Hey, we'll have a link to it in the show notes of this interview. Again, be part of the show. Just email us, kl@kerrylutz.com. Hotline number 914-424-4142. Debbie, been a pleasure having you on. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kerry.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.